Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting and diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And seated on my right, we welcome back with great pleasure that outstanding comedian and that delightful performer, Paul Merton. And seated beside him, the senior player of this game who contributes with such wit and erudition on occasions, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, a lovely actress, comedy performer, writer, journalist, Maria McCurlane. And seated beside her, another wit, a man who writes wonderful lyrics, he performs, he's in cabaret, and an all-round writer. Anyway, that is Kit Hesketh-Harvey. Would you please welcome all four of them? Seated beside me, Charlotte Assembly Hall Theatre in that lovely spa town of Tunbridge Wells. And we have a group of people in the audience who are obviously high on the waters and anxious for a start. So we'll begin the show with Paul Merton. And Paul, actually the next subject is the first one, taking the waters. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, it's a polite version of taking the urine, and I wouldn't expect anything less in Tunbridge Wells. It's an extremely polite society. You walk around, people doff their caps, men and women greet each other at the railway stations, kiss, embrace, an orgy on platform 5 is a regular thing on a Monday.
And Kit, you've challenged.
I'm springing to the defence of Tunbridge Wells, where I was raised. He's not talking about taking the waters at all.
Yes, I think deviation. That's right. He's deviated from the waters, talking about the wonderful
the
people of Tunbridge Wells.
Of these good people.
But yes.
I'm worried about platform 5.
Yeah. Every Monday.
Every Monday, right. Kit, that was a correct challenge. Deviation. So you get a point for that. You take over the subject. There are 47 seconds available. Taking the waters, starting now.
They call it a chalybeate spring. It's actually a mispronunciation of chalybeat from the Greek. And it's a filthy thing, like a car sump down in the pan tiles. And it's now surrounded entirely by Indian restaurants, which has the same purgative effect. But in 1606, I think it was, there was a young nobleman who had a hangover, and he stooped down and took these waters and fired him up with iron and blood and heaven knows.
Clement challenged.
Yeah, I think repetition, hesitation.
All of them, I think, probably. Yeah.
I didn't notice any.
Fire.
He was getting, what, fire?
Fire.
Far, far.
We shouldn't say fire too often in a packed theatre, is it?
The audience were laughing so much I didn't hear him repeat fire. So, did you repeat fire?
I probably did.
Oh, Clement, right, well done. Very honest.
I think you said fire and fired.
Oh, really? Oh, Maria. I'll see you on platform 5. Yes.
Audience have endorsed it. Thank you for me for helping your friend. There we are. So you have a point for incorrect challenge there, Kit.
I say.
And you keep the subject. And you have 22 seconds taking the waters, starting now.
And the Georgian gentry flocked down here in their pretty little muslin bonnets, just like something out of Jane Austen. They had assemblies and routs, and they drank sherbet, and they had...
Paul challenge.
There were quite a lot of they.
A lot of they, yes.
Too much of they. So, Paul, the correct challenge, a point to you. 12 seconds available. Taking the waters, starting now.
When Pink Floyd reformed to appear at the last concert, Roger Waters took his place as the bassist.
Maria, you've challenged.
Well, they didn't actually reform. It was just a one-off gig.
When they reformed?
No.
Oh, darling, that's a
they were together
bit
on stage. They reformed for that gig.
I think that was a bit pedantic.
Of
yes,
me.
I think so. It was lovely to hear from you.
Thank you very much.
But you have a point, Paul, and 5 seconds, taking the waters, starting now.
If you wake up in the morning and you look out to the sun, you think to yourself, I want to rehydrate myself.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and on this occasion it was Paul Merton who has a strong lead at the end of that round. And Kit, will you please take the next round? Right. The subject, in the back of my mind. There are 60 seconds available, and you start now.
The very smell of this room, of the people of Tunbridge Wells, is bringing back, in a Proustian way, my teenage years spent in this fabulous borough. I attended a local boarding school and worked as a barman at the dear old Spa Hotel. Is it still there? Dispensing pink gins to the local colonels.
Paul challenge.
Well, deviation. This is underage employment. He's a teenager. He's working in a bar, serving up drinks. You've got to be 18 to work in a bar.
Oh, mopping up, I was.
Mopping up.
Well, he didn't establish what
he didn't establish
was.
That at all, did he? Very good chairman. Very good chairman. Best chairman we've got.
He could actually have been 18 years of age when he was doing it. So he didn't establish the age. So, no, I don't think it was deviation. So, Kit, you still have the subject. And you have another point. And you have In the Back of My Mind, 43 seconds, starting now.
In the back of my mind, I remember working as a petrol pump attendant at nearby Southborough. I bet I've shoved my nozzle up a few of you in my time. And then I went on beautiful bike rides. How it is all returning to me now through Hawkhurst, Goudhurst, Speldhurst, Penshurst, William Randolph.
Poor little challenge.
Well, I know it's all one word, but we get a lot of Hurst, one after the other.
I know, but they actually, individually, they're all different words. All Goudhurst, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All spelled. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, but Kit, an incorrect challenge, 25 seconds still available. Carry on with In the Back of My Mind.
Rabbiting down...
Clement challenge.
Hesitation.
No. Another point to Kit, and... 24 and a half seconds starting now.
Tickling trout in the lush meadows down at Fordham or at Groombridge Place.
Full challenge.
Deviation, if you're tickling trout in a meadow, there's something wrong with the trout. You want to give it a kiss of life, never mind trying to tickle it. You're a keen fisherman, you know about these things, don't you, Nicholas?
Oh, yes, yes, but I wouldn't tickle my trout in the meadow.
No. And,
but I haven't taken many trouts into meadows, actually. I leave them to other people. Now,
that's very generous of you.
Yes. I think, logically, you have a good challenge, and you've been trying very hard throughout this round to get in. So you have the benefit of the doubt. And 22 seconds, in the back of my mind, Paul, starting now.
In the back of my mind, I always think of the wonderful spa town of Tunbridge Wells. Coming out of the station and walking up the hill, it's a 1.4 gradient. I don't know if you're aware of that, but the local guidebook points out that this hillock has, in fact, been there for several centuries. What better way there is to suck up to an audience than to pretend you are from the area and talk about all kinds of arcane things of no interest to listeners outside surrounding.
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's moved forward, he's increased his lead. But Kit Hesketh-Harvey got lots of points in the round. He's only 4 points behind him. Then it's Maria and Clement Freud in that order. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject we have here is The Last Resort. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I think it was Dr. Johnson who said patriotism is the last resort of a scoundrel, but it's unimportant to name the person. Let me explain that the last resort, where I live in Suffolk, starting at Aldeburgh and going through Leyston, Dunwich, Walberswick, Southwell, Cove Hythe, Lowestoft, is the last resort. And I think absolutely rightly, because they do...
Maria Challenge.
Well, I just think that was a list, wasn't it?
It was a list.
Is that allowed?
Yes, it's
of
very...
resorts.
Yes.
Coming to the last resort.
He didn't
resort.
Repeat anything.
If there can only be one
resort
last...
if you don't mention the previous resort?
Leytonstone?
I mean, there's no rule which says you can't have a list, as long as you don't repeat anything, deviate or hesitate.
But it was about the last resort. And he mentioned many
other
resorts.
The last resort, I think he said Lowestoft was the last one.
Yeah.
So he did actually say that.
Right.
And
I'm quite new to this.
I know. But Clement's very clever at the way he plays the game.
But he does always do lots of lists.
He does, and it's very funny, actually.
Yes, I'm sorry. I made a terrible error.
Actually,
I don't know what I was thinking
tell you
of.
Something else, because I've tried it. It is actually difficult to do, because you do begin to hesitate as you try to remember all the different places or words or whatever you have. So he has a point for an incorrect challenge, Maria. I'm sorry about that. You have the
Thank
audience
you.
On your side.
Thank you very much.
But I have to be fair within the rules of just a minute. Clement, you have 33 seconds to continue on The Last Resort, starting now.
The word resort would come from the French sortir, to get out, which is exactly what one should do from a resort, unless, of course, it is Tunbridge Wells, which I seem to remember is twinned with Sadler's Wells, which I think is...
All challenged.
Repetition of Wells.
Yes. So, Paul, another correct challenge. 18 seconds available. The last resort, starting now.
Jonathan Ross started his TV career at...
get you challenged.
Sorry, hesitation.
He did hesitate. Yes. Why? Because he did start his last...
He did, yeah.
With a programme called The Last Resort.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be Pete Television again. So, but I'd said TV, so I stopped myself for no reason whatsoever.
I know.
Give me the benefit of that.
No, I've given you one benefit. You can't have it too
really?
So soon. No, no.
When can I have the next benefit of the doubt?
When you deserve it.
Okay.
Right. 16 seconds for you, Kit, on The Last Resort, starting now.
Heading diametrically away
from... Hoo-chan, Paul.
Do I deserve it yet? Is it now?
No, but what you deserve now is a bonus point because they enjoyed your interruption there. But Kit gets a point because he was interrupted, keeps the subject, and there are 15 seconds, The Last Resort, starting now.
In the opposite direction, one comes to the Minnock Theatre in Cornwall, where, as a young TV, I appeared in the Duchess of Plaza Toro's role in The Gondoliers.
Paul Chalmers.
Sorry, did you say as a young TV?
Yes. It wasn't a repetition of TV, because I hadn't said it earlier. You had earlier, but I think... It...
You appeared as a young TV.
I was playing the Duchess... The Duchess of Plaza Toro.
Do you mean transvestite?
Yes. I wanted to spare the people of Tunbridge Wells who didn't know that sort of thing.
What size TV were you?
Yeah.
I was widescreen, big boy.
So you came on stage as a television?
As a television.
Well, I can't...
If there was ever a case of benefit of the doubt...
It's not impossible that you could have dressed up. It kind of been a sort of pantomime-type show.
It was. It was the Duchess of Plaza Toro, who's very
well,
much
all right,
main.
We give you the benefit of the doubt. he could have come on dressed as a TV, couldn't he? He could have had a cabinet all over him. I went to, as a little boy, to a fancy dress party, dressed as Humpty Dumpty. They made me look exactly like Humpty Dumpty.
Is that where you met Charlie Chaplin?
No, but Nicholas, haven't we already established that he did come on dressed as a transvestite? Is that wrong to say on Radio 4?
Yes.
He did. That's what he said.
That was my point. Yes, I was in the travesty role. So I was transvesti.
Yes.
As the Duchess of Plaza Toro.
Can I get this right?
Yes.
Nicholas, you've given Kit the decision because you once dressed up as Humpty Dumpty at a kid's party.
That's got nothing to do with it, because I was trying to illustrate the fact that in this particular production down in Cornwall, Kit put on a suit which looked like a television set, so he came on as a TV.
No, I was the Duchess of Plaza Toro. I had to sing...
He was dressed as a woman.
Well, you do it yourself, Nicholas, all the time.
Where does a TV come in?
TV means transvestite.
Oh, I see. A different generation. Oh, I know about transvestites, but I didn't know. You said a transvestite. I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that allowed in the rules of Just a Minute to use initials?
I think in that case I have a right to an answer. What size TV were you?
Yes. You see, Clement's of a similar generation, so he thought you were talking about a TV.
No, he didn't. He was making a very funny joke.
We made a joke, yes, because it was a good joke anyway. If it was a television, it was a very good joke. But you don't say what size transvestite were you.
I've got 50 quid in my pocket that says, let's forget the last 10 minutes.
I would put 50 quid on the fact that that was one of the best 10 minutes we've had. There you are, so they enjoy that. I don't know where we are, but I don't know who has the benefit of that.
Tunbridge Wells.
I think now the only thing I can do is to give the benefit of the doubt to Kit Esketh-Harvey and say you have the last resort and you have 6 seconds starting now.
Unfortunately, it was directly above a sewage outflow into the Bay of Marizion. There was a definite whiff which made this particular last resort not at all.
Well, Kit, with his transvesticism, got quite a few points in that round and has moved rapidly forward. He's only one behind our leader, Paul Merton. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin.
Ah.
Ah, what a lovely topical subject. Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I believe it was a phrase popularised by the satirical magazine Private Eye in the 1960s. They would often read spoof letters from people in Tunbridge Wells and mark it down as disgusted from Tunbridge Wells. But as I walk around this beautiful Tunbridge Wells place that's called Tunbridge Wells, I think to myself, I remember my school days. Me and Kit would run together through meadows, tickling trout, picking up octopus and throwing them over hedgerows. What a wonderful time it was to pick up seafood.
kit, your chance.
Repetition of wonderful, although it was.
It was. It was hilarious.
Yes, it was hilarious.
It was idyllic, Nicholas, to be young in Tunbridge Wells.
No, it was. Exactly. It was so enjoyable. I wish they let you go, because you were going into the realm of the surreal, of which you're so good. But anyway, Kit interrupted you, and you did repeat wonderful. 32 seconds, disgusted of Tunbridge Wells. Kit, starting now.
Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells has a great deal to be disgusted about. Decimus Burton, our fabulous architect here, is now mistaken for a chain of clothing retailers. Tunbridge Ware doesn't come from... Oh, no, I really have that in mind.
Maria, you got in that time.
Not called Tunbridge Ware.
No, it's hesitation. Yes. Right, 17 seconds. Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells is with you, starting now.
Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells is a shorthand way of describing the sort of person who may write venomous and poisonous letters to TV stations.
Paul Chalmers.
That was a hesitation.
That was
a hesitation.
Oh, curses.
Yes. Oh, yes.
When I say TV
so
stations,
Paul,
I meant...
Disgusted of Tunbridge... Paul, you had a correct challenge. You have 8 seconds. Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells, starting now.
Dear British Broadcasting Corporation, I attended a performance of Just a Minute in Tunbridge Wells last week and was horrified by what Nicholas Parsons was wearing. He's a transvestite!
So, Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went again. That extra point has increased his lead at the end of that round over Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Maria McCurlin and Clement Freud in that order. So, right, Maria, would you take the next round? The subject is meat and two veg. Good subject. Tell us something about meat and two veg, Maria. 60 seconds, starting now.
Meat and two veg is often described as a balanced meal. It's also used about the contents of a gentleman's underpants. Now, having watched a Bush Tucker trial on the recent I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, I watched somebody eating a kangaroo's testicles. And from the...
Paul Challenge.
That's very difficult. Is the kangaroo bouncing up and down? How the hell do you get that on a plane? Do you grip the back of the kangaroo and chomp in mid-stride? What goes on? Deviation, you can't... Well,
I think... She didn't establish it, but I think we assumed that they had been taken off and fried first, but... Well, we did enjoy what you said, Paul, so we'll give you a bonus point for that. The audience loved it. But, Maria, you were interrupted. So you still have meat and two veg, and you have 41 seconds starting now.
They were taken off, and they were raw, and I would put any money on the fact that they were not vegetables.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition, they were.
They were. Yes, they were.
They weren't right. Vegetables.
So, Clement, you got in with meat and two testicles. I'm sorry. Which would have been a very good subject, but actually, it's meat and two veg, Clement. 34 seconds, starting now.
I met this woman and I said, do let us try and meat and two veg. And she said, where? Cauliflower, I said,
Paul
leek.
Challenged.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, I'm afraid, Clement, yes.
Question mark, which does...
26 seconds available, Paul. Meat and two veg, starting now.
I'm sitting next to Clement Freud, who of course is a...
Clement Challenge.
Nothing to do with the subject.
No, but he
well,
was...
Well, I had been going for 6 words. Yeah.
He only had 6 words. He was probably leading on to saying that it reminded him of meat and two veg or something. I don't
no.
know.
No.
Now, you must have given the
deviation
chance.
Here.
Establish it.
I wasn't going to say that.
Weren't you?
No.
Well, it doesn't matter.
In that case, it's deviation.
No. It was a good try, Clement, and it's not even worth the benefit of the doubt. I'm
How
afraid.
About a bonus point?
You've had plenty of those in your time, but not on this occasion. 24 seconds, Paul. Meat and two veg, starting now.
He's a very skilled chef, and I'm sure could regale us with all kinds of recipes for a meat and two veg. My own particular favourite, and although I'm not a culinary expert in any stretch at all, I would say that my favourite two veg...
Ah, Clement, yes.
Favourite.
Oh, yes.
Repetition, yes. 13 seconds, Clement. Meat and two veg, starting now.
She sits among the cauliflowers and peas, was something which the censor thought was terribly wrong, and so the Victorian music hall actress was asked to change the words and made them, I sit among...
Clement Freud speaking then as the whistle went, move forward, and he's equal with Maria McCurlin in third place, just behind Kit Hesketh-Harvey, who's just behind Paul Merton. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. So would you take the subject of ducking and diving? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Ducking and diving, it's what Cockneys say to each other when you're staying one step ahead of the game. I was doing a bit of ducking and diving, do you know what I mean? Up round the houses, band the band, out the corner, out the back. And it's the sort of thing that they say, it doesn't really mean anything.
Kid challenge.
Lots of says there, weren't there?
Yes, it's the sort of thing that Cockneys say and say. Right, 48 seconds, ducking and diving with you, Kit, starting now.
Lawrence of Arabia did a lot of ducking and diving during the Sinai War, escaping from the Turks who were trying to attack him in Diriyah. Not a very good place to be attacked. He managed to duck and dive by eating his camels having ridden them, which was pretty good, and you can't do that with a Morris Marina, can you? Ducking and diving is better than bobbing and weaving, for example, if you're being attacked. Why?
Clement Charles.
Deviation, I don't think so.
Well, I think it's a matter of opinion, and...
He said, as if it were a fact.
In his mind, it is a fact, and you can only speak from your own personal experience. And in this game, you speak from personal experience. In his personal experience, ducking and diving is better than bobbing and weaving. So he has to have the natural benefit of the doubt. In fact, I think he's absolutely accurate. I give it to him anyway. 26 seconds, ducking and diving with you, kids, starting now.
Because if you are being attacked, why would you bring out a loom and some tapestry?
Maria Challenge.
I think we've had attacked.
Yes, he was attacked before, wasn't he?
Well done, Maria.
You were attacked in Diriyah.
Yes. He was attacked in Diriyah. Maria. There's no need to underline it, darling. There are 23 seconds, Maria, on ducking and diving, starting now.
Ducking and diving is not allowed in the shallow end of the swimming pool. Neither is heavy petting, bombing, smoking cigarettes, taking drugs, using heavy machinery, eating beans on toast, going to the loo, hopping on one leg, doing the long jump...
But you challenged.
I thought there was an element of deviation in being in the shallow end of a swimming pool and going to the loo.
You always go at the deep end, do you?
I go from the diving board. And it also was a bit of a list, wasn't it?
It was a great list.
We don't like lists. We never like lists in Tunbridge Wells.
Listen, this is the penultimate round, so I don't think, Clement, your challenge is correct. You've got 2 seconds, so keep going, ducking and diving, starting now.
Ducking and diving, ducking and diving, ducking and diving. Did I do a whole minute there?
No, yeah. Paul started the subject. You're going to begin the next round. It's going to be the last round, so you might go for a whole minute, and you're in fourth place, but it's a very good fourth place. But but you're only 1 point behind Clement Freud, and only 2 points behind Kit Hesketh Harvey, a few more behind Paul Merton, as we move into the final round. And so, Maria, will you take the final round? The subject is Off the Record. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Off the record is a term often used when talking to journalists when you don't want them to print what you are talking about. Whereupon they are meant to turn off the tape recorder so you can tell them about your sexual lusting of heifers in fields. But I urge you to stop talking, Maria, because you don't know what you're talking about.
Carry on.
Oh, no. You were making... I don't need to be patronised, Nicholas.
You're not being patronised. The audience
just want to hear about your.
We want to hear about off the record.
No. I knew that I was repeating myself and hesitating.
No, but carry on. No one's challenging.
No.
Keep going.
Okay.
Clement has challenged.
Repetition.
Right. Of what?
The silence.
Absolutely, yes. Clement. How well you listened there. You have the subject with 40 seconds to go off the record, starting now.
40 seconds?
Yes. Porn challenged.
Accurate timekeeping. Deviation, he's not talking about off the record.
No, he wasn't. No. And you've got 38 seconds, Paul, off the record, starting now.
When I was about 13, I had a little tape recorder. I used to tape records, gramophone records and things like that, and it would be...
Kit challenged.
So repetition of records, because yes, it's actually well, off the record.
Something on the card is off the record, and you read well, records
and tape
twice.
Tape as well, yeah.
Tape, not repetition.
Repetition of tape.
Yeah. Yes.
Just loops. Round and round.
Kit, 32 seconds available, off the record, starting now.
Off the record, and I can feel I can share it with a room as sensitive as you, and in these discreet setting, I can reveal that I was married in a civil ceremony to Nicholas Parsons earlier this year.
Read the tokens.
Paul, you've challenged.
Nicholas, is this true?
Well,
this is bigamy.
I don't remember it.
Well, the fact you don't remember it is no indication of anything, is it?
As far as I know, it has deviation.
Yes, well, you know. I think we're more liberal than that these days, aren't we?
Even in Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah. Even in Tunbridge Wells, yes. I mean, we did talk about transvesticism earlier on, but even so, I don't remember a marriage. So,
That must hit home, Kit. That's terrible.
Very painful.
You remember
very
a marriage.
Painful. Yeah. Not what you said to me and the frangipani as you strewed it across the bed and you slipped out of your shantung silk. He was a tender but urgent and inventive lover that night.
Did he take you there as well? I've been there twice.
Audience, I do assure you what Kit is saying is not true. I did not have a wedding in Tunbridge Wells. Not a Kit, anyway. Paul, it's a correct challenge. 20 seconds off the record, starting now.
Many years ago, I was interviewed by a journalist for the Sunday Times, and I was rather a little bit indiscreet of what I said, because I happened to mention a couple of things about Just the Minute, and I pointed out that Nicholas Parsons is in the habit of marrying panellists on the show. Ironically, Maria is the only woman here who hasn't had... Well, I say she's... Well, in fact, one should say.
Clement, you challenge. I think there was a hesitation.
Really?
He stumbled there and so forth. Yeah. And you know, Clement, you've cleverly got in with half a second to go.
No.
Off the record, Clement, starting now.
Off the record.
Well, let me give you the final score in this particular show. Maria McCurlin, who hasn't played the game quite as frequently as others, came along but did very well, but finished in a fine fourth place. And... he was 2 or 3 points behind Kit Hesketh Harvey in third place, and he was 2 or 3 points behind Clement Foyd in second place, and they were all quite a few points behind Paul Merton, who we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Maria McCurlin and Clement Freud. And I also thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle with great elegance throughout the show. We are grateful to our producer, to Lucia Galani, and also we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we are very grateful to this lovely audience in the Assembly Hall Theatre here in Tunbridge Wells, who've cheered us on the way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play... Just a minute!